Vi ste uz SBS na srpskom. Pronađite još interesantnih priloga na sbs.com.au/srbijan.
You're listening to SBS Serbian podcast. My name is Branko Cvetojević. Today I'm joined by one of Australian football's most influential and respected figures of the past two decades, Mr. Alan Stajčić. Recently, Mr. Stajčić was awarded the Order of Australia Medal, a national honor recognizing not only success, but service, leadership and lasting contribution to Australian society. Across many years, his work as a coach, mentor and advocate has shaped players, teams and the wider football community with an impact that extends well beyond results on the scoreboard. Mr. Stajčić, welcome to the SBS Serbian podcast. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Let's start with the Order of Australia Medal. When you first found out you were being awarded the OAM, what went through your mind at that moment?
For me, first and foremost, it was a moment to honor all the people in your life who helped you contribute to follow your passions and your dreams. And for me, most importantly, and firstly, it was my parents who migrated to Australia in 1968 from Yugoslavia, and both came from very humble beginnings and had very little, had no money, no language, no skills, and migrated to Australia just to give themselves a better life, but also their future children. And my brother and I were born very quickly when they arrived, my brother in 1969 and me in 1973 in Blacktown in Western Sydney. And, you know, to think of how much they sacrificed, how hard they worked, this country gives you the opportunity, but they also gave us the opportunity to follow our dreams and get an education and follow the careers and the passions that we love. So, you know, for them, I'll be forever grateful. And for my own family, for my kids and my wife who sacrificed me being away from home so much and traveling around and following football and traveling around the world with teams, and they've sacrificed me being at home. You know, it's just a moment to be grateful for all those people who support you and again, allow you to follow your dreams. So that's really what it meant to me. And you know, that's something that I'll carry with me for the rest of my life.
Were you aware that you had been nominated for the OAM, or did it come as a complete surprise for you?
Yeah, it came as a surprise. I found out maybe 2 months before getting the award, and then they ask you questions if you want to accept it or not. And again, it was more a moment to reflect on, you know, what my family gave me and what my families have contributed to my life. So it was a massive honour, but also a moment of gratitude to all those people.
As the OAM recognises service as much as achievement, how do you reflect on the idea of service in your football career and your life?
Yeah, look, I always looked on a position of leadership or a coach as you're there to help other people and try and help as many people as you can. And, you know, it's different as a player and as a coach. As a player, you're a little bit more egocentric and worried about your own career, whereas as a coach, you're worried about everyone else and pretty much put yourself at the back of the queue. So, you know, I started at a time when there wasn't much infrastructure and support and resources, especially in women's football. There was almost no support, and, you know, went into an environment that was challenging, but one that I loved. And, you know, I love proving people wrong and love trying to do my best for people who wanted to do their best in their life. And the fact that they love football was, you know, somewhere that I wanted to, you know, merge our passions and see how far we could go.
Mr. Stajčić, let's talk about your legacy and let's reflect on your career a bit more. Do you see this honor, the medal, as one of the greatest successes of your life or career?
Yeah, look, it's not really a success for me. It's, again, it's more for recognition of my family than me. You know, I don't see it as something for me. It's more for those people. It's a great honor to get it from your country and, you know, country that gave me so much and gave our family so much. And, you know, from that point of view, I respect and honor the traditions of this country and really appreciate the fact that you get respected and honored in that way. But for me, you know, there's so much more that I want to do. I want football to be the biggest sport in this country. I want this country to be one of the best in the world. And, you know, there's a lot more hard work to do to ensure that that happens.
Looking back, how do you think your results and experiences with clubs and with the Matildas contributed to this recognition?
Yeah, maybe a lot. When I started in women's football, especially, no one really cared about the sport. Again, there were no resources, no infrastructure, almost no support. I was almost warned against coaching in women's football because it was so much maligned. But I thought it was an area that I could have an input in, and again, I wanted to support those who were almost disrespected and prove other people wrong. And over a period of 15 years, we got to the point where I think we were almost the best country in the world. I know we were ranked four at one point, but we beat America for the first time and only time in our history in 2017 in America. And I thought that, around that time, we were probably the best team in the world, which proved what I thought all along, that Australia could be the best in any type of football if we put our minds and align ourselves to the one single cause.
Surely it was a tipping point for Matildas from then. What they became, what are they now in the world of football? But recently, your press conference speech on the state of Australian football sparked significant conversation across the game. What motivated you to speak so candidly in that moment?
Yeah, I think I've been involved as a player and as a coach for 40, 45 years now, and seen the cycle of doom and gloom and success and prosperity and self-sabotage so many times. And it's really frustrating as someone who loves the game and again wants to see the game be number one in our country and see our country be number one in the world. But for whatever reason, we just can't escape the fact that we're not aligned, we're not unified. We have too many layers of governance. The governance never support each other. We have state federation, national federations, APL, A-League clubs, NPL clubs, and no one's ever really fighting and pulling in the same direction. Of course, football clubs have to compete, but in a governance level and in a leadership level, we need to be aligned and united. And, I've very, very rarely seen it, other than maybe a 7 to 10 year period under Frank Lowy. I've very rarely seen our sport unite together and fight together to achieve what I think we can and be the successful code that we all want it to be. And unfortunately, in the last 5 to 7 years, I've seen the sport go backwards, and that hurts my soul even more to know that we should be better and could be better, but we're not.
But should people who lead Australian football, should they look a little bit more beyond the borders of this country, look maybe in some examples in Europe and how they can reach that kind of success that you were talking about?
Yeah, there's so many different aspects. There's so many different layers of governance to football development, to expanding the actual football product and promoting the product. And we have done that in the past. As I said, under Frank Lowy, they employed a lot of Dutch people. I got to work. I was fortunate enough to work with Harm Burger for a long time when he was the technical director of Australia, and I was his assistant for 2 or 3 years. And I learned a lot from him. And certainly getting the expertise from other countries is something we can look at. To be honest, I think we've got enough expertise here. We just don't have the unity and alignment. There's too much ego. And until people stop worrying about their own selves and their own ego and their own back pocket and start thinking about the bigger picture of the sport, then maybe someday we'll be able to align and move forward together again.
I'd like to finish this conversation with reflection on your roots and upbringing in the community. Growing up in Western Sydney, surrounded by a strong Serbian and multicultural community, what values did that environment instill in you, and what are the fondest memories from that time?
Yeah, look, I was got into football very early, as you can imagine. All the people who came from Europe and the old Yugoslavia around that time all migrated around football pitches around Western Sydney in particular. There's obviously other community and cultural places where people gathered. I spent a lot of time at Rudi Hill, at the church there, and did a little bit of the dancing as well, and learnt the language and the
So
writing
it was a
and
bit of folklore, yeah?
a little bit. But I quickly told that dancing's not for me. I'll go outside and play football in the grass pitch out the back. But yeah, I did a little bit of folklore as well, and that was fun, and I could see how important it was for my father to, hang around people and feel comfortable and being able to assimilate into Australia, but at the same time, keep that connection with his roots. He was a young boy and, he grew up in Bosna, in probably the poorest village, and he was probably the poorest family in that village. So they grew up with nothing, and he had to move to Belgrade when he was 11 or 12 just to follow his brother to find school and education. So, thinking of the roots of, where we came from, and the opportunities I had within one generation, and still keeping in mind, where they came from and both my parents, and how much they sacrificed leaving their homes and their families to have an opportunity for themselves and their family, really always means a lot to me.
Mr. Taichich, how special place in your story holds Bonnyrigg White Eagles? What stands out most when you reflect on your time there? Actually, you played for 4 years, if I'm right.
Yeah, I had a lot of injuries when I played for Bonnyrigg. I had a knee reconstruction and I had a groin surgery. I was captain there very young. I was captain at 22, 23, and unfortunately injuries hampered me for at least a year and a half of that 3 to 4 years I was there. I came in halfway through 1 year, so probably 3, 4 years. But it was great just to see the support of the community. It was great to see a club that was at that level in the highest league in New South Wales. Probably the difference between some of the other ethnic clubs around Australia and the Serbian community is that they've never been at the top level. When I see how many players have played for Australia from the Greek community, from the Croatian community and from the Italian community, they always had clubs that were at the highest level and the Serbian community didn't. And that's always been something that's also hurt my soul a little bit, that young kids never had the ability and the potential to play at the highest level through their own club. So, I know that the club's struggling a little bit now, so hopefully they get back on their feet. And I know a few people on the board there. Hopefully they get back on their feet and become a strong club again and give young kids the opportunity to progress to the highest levels and love the game as well.
Hopefully that will happen. But did you have a chance to at least to see the results of some other Serbian clubs throughout Australia? A few of them reached Premier League on the state level. In Western Australia, that's Danella, yeah. White Eagles, and then we have Beograd in Adelaide as well.
Yeah, I've followed all those clubs throughout my whole life, the last 30, 40 years. I've followed how they've all gone. I've followed the clubs, throughout the whole ex-Yugoslavia as well, and I just can't remember, the memories of my life are following Zvezda, especially in the late 80s and 90s, and seeing what we could achieve, as a country and as a massive club. And again, it's just sad to see that we're not at those levels again. But, I've spent all my life in Australia and trying to focus on the game here, but I've always had in the back of my mind following, my parents' cultural history and heritage and mine as well.
That's really nice. For the end, I'd just like to ask you, as you are now taking a break in your coaching career, where do you see yourself in the future after your coaching roles with Matildas, with Philippines national team, as well as with Central Coast Mariners, Perth Glory and Western Sydney Wanderers?
It's a good question. It's a good question. I don't have a crystal ball, but I only want to be in environments where people want to work together and be aligned. It's too hard working in any industry, in any job, if you're not all working together and pulling in the same direction. So if there's any country or club that wants to change and improve and really change the way they do things in a good way with good people and good values, then, I'll certainly join that kind of organisation. But, I have a rest now for the first time in about 30 years. Put my feet up a little bit and sleep in for a week or two. And
well deserved, I'd say. Mr. Stajic, yeah. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us today. Congratulations once again on receiving the Order of Australia medal. It's been a real privilege to reflect on your journey and the values that continue to guide you in your work.
Thank you. Thank you. It's a pleasure.
You listen to SBS Serbian. I am Branko Cvetojević.
Želite da čujete još priča poput ove? Slušajte nas na Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify ili odakle god slušate podcast.